Familiar Work of Art by Saved By. A Sid Nait Fig. Read by Momo. This is a birthday gift for Girl Marauders. Never let me go, never let me go, never let me go. Never let me go, never let me go, never let me go. It starts off as a joke. The guys on the Avs have been chirping him about his friendship with Sid from the beginning, which honestly barely fazes Nate at this point. He knows they're all just jealous that he gets to train with Sid every summer, and more importantly, that they're buddies. Nate's thought he'd heard every version of chirp about it. He's even practiced comebacks to most of them, just to be on the top of things at all times. Still, it kind of blindsides him when he comes back to the locker room after practice one day and finds Sid waiting patiently in his stall. That is, a life-sized cardboard cutout of Sid.
"You guys, what the fuck?" Nate says.
The locker room around him is the forced kind of quiet that means everyone is doing their utmost best to contain their laughter. Someone is already failing. It sounds like Dutchie. He's got a particularly obnoxious sounding giggle.
"You know you're missing your boy," Tyson says.
His voice is remarkably steady. Nate should have guessed he'd be behind this.
"So we bought you a little something to deal with the pain. He won't laugh at your jokes, but they aren't that funny in the first place, so..."
This seems to be the cue for the rest of the guys to descend into laughter. Nate shakes his head, reaching to touch the glossy finish of the cutout.
"What the fuck?" he repeats. "He's much taller than this in real life. What the fuck?"
Sid's face stares at him from the cardboard, challenging. After the guys had had their fun, they slowly disperse, leaving Nate alone in his stall, except for the cardboard cutout and its intense stare. He gets the sudden urge to take a snap of it and send it to Sid, but he squashes it. Sid's probably got better things to do. He ducks into the showers, futilely hoping that it'll be gone by the time he comes back. It's not. He can't just leave it there, ammo for more chirps in the morning and gathering the scent of the locker room. So he takes it home. The situation turns rather more complicated when Nate realizes that cardboard Sid doesn't fit in the back of his truck. In fact, trying to push it in results in a slightly damaged edge, for which he apologizes for 3 minutes until he remembers he's apologizing to a cardboard cutout and stops. Buckling it into the front seat seems too weird, so he tries to angle it onto the back seat, and even then it takes some creative use of space to get it to fit. He almost pulls out his bag, heaving it in, which probably means he should be re-examining his summer training program. Or not, because summer means thinking about Sid, which he's been aggressively avoiding. "Thousands of dollars in salary money, and they spend it on cardboard Sidney Crosbys," Nate mutters under his breath and slams the car door shut. "If I breathe a little deeper, when will you notice that I really need you? If I tell you all my secrets, would you listen? Would you..." Cardboard Sid takes permanent residence in his kitchen, watching over his nutrient intake, much like the real one would. If he were answering texts, which he isn't, Nate is fine with it. Just fine. "I know sometimes I am difficult, but I just wanted to let you know I've been waiting on you all night, and I'll be waiting on you all night." "Why do some people put in milk before cereal? How do they know what the right ratio of milk is?" Nate asks, crunching on his cereal. Silence answers him, at which point he realizes he's just been talking to a cardboard cutout of Sidney Crosby. He takes a desperate mouthful of his coffee to wake up quicker. It burns his mouth.
"Hey, should I go with the blue or the green polo shirt?"
"You're right, the blue one is better."
"Should I put the chicken in my pasta sauce or nah?"
"You're so smart, Sid. Of course I have to put it in. It's part of my ritual." "Tell me that the grass is never greener. Hold me closer, See, talking to cardboard Sid becomes less weird when you consider the fact that Nate would be sending all these pressing questions to Sid anyway, if Sid were answering texts, which he still isn't. Nate is actually really not fine with it. Nate gets roaringly drunk after one of their home wins. He actually doesn't drink a lot usually, especially during the season, but he's had a mixed performance today. He's itching to sit down with someone that isn't a coach and deconstructed, but most guys won't want to talk about hockey for 3 hours after playing it for 3 hours. Dutchie would probably do it, because he's a beauty, but Nate also doesn't want to take him from his more important hobbies, like making friends with hospital children and saving kittens from trees. So Nate drinks a lot of multicolored shots and stumbles home with some help from Tyson, who is actually a good guy when he's not buying Nate cardboard cutouts of Sid. Speaking of, it's still standing in his kitchen, propped up against a wall, because he broke its stand last week while doing karaoke. Before he realizes what he's doing, he's got his fingers around cardboard. Unfortunately, he somehow trips in the process, falling over right on top of the cutout. He stares down at it, mighty confused. Even in a glossy picture, Sid's lips look full and pink, his hazel eyes flashing. He's so handsome. Nate's drunk mind wants to cry. "Well, we've been in this situation before," Nate mutters, laboriously rising to his feet and stumbling to his bedroom. "Never again." Nate stays home during All-Star Weekend, rehabilitating a twisted ankle. By which he means that he mostly sprawls out on the couch watching HGTV until the bag of ice melts down into water and leaks out on the carpet. It's not even that bad of an injury, he just feels listless and out of sorts. But it doesn't matter. He's got a freezer full of nutritionally sound meals and a week will be over soon enough, and so will the injury. He can back on the ice soon and focus on making the playoffs. The last thing he expects is the doorbell to ring in the middle of the afternoon. He thinks about ignoring it, figuring it might be the Mormons again, but the bell keeps ringing, so he reluctantly heaves off the couch and stumbles to the door. He slides the eye hole open and then immediately drops into a crouch, despite the protest in his ankle. It's Sid on the other side of the door, not a Mormon. Unless he'd converted in the meantime or something. Nate steals a minute to take stock of himself. He's in his worn-down sweatpants and a Crosby Hockey School t-shirt. He hasn't shaved in 4 days. He's fairly sure he'd showered last night. Maybe the night before. He's still crouching in his own hallway, which is dumb, because it's not like Sid can see him either way. The doorbell stops ringing and Nate holds his breath. The doors are thick, so he can't hear anything, but he stands up in a rush and unlocks it anyway. Truth is, he was always going to open the door. Even after months of radio silence, seeing Sid's face, blurry and misshapen through the eyehole, still makes his heart beat faster. When he opens the door, Sid is already halfway down the driveway. Nate's chest twinges at a dejected slump to his shoulders. "Sid," he calls out, appalled at how his voice breaks a little. "Get in here or the neighbors will try to talk to you about gardening." He's lost hours listening to Mr. Fox talking about his fuchsias, so this is a legitimate concern, especially since he can spot the man over Sid's shoulder, waving his spade in a way that's supposed to be jovial, but Nate only finds threatening. He waves back, and stubbornly refuses to look at Sid, even when he passes by him to enter the house, close enough that their clothes brush against each other. "Hi," Sid says quietly, and Nate nods, slams the door shut with enough force that the doorway rattles. He paces to the hallway closet and offers Sid some slippers on autopilot. He leaves him there, limping his way to the kitchen for a bottle of water to settle his nerves. He hasn't been this nervous around Sid since they met for the first time, and he'd been so starstruck he could barely speak. "Listen, Nate," Sid says behind him, and Nate startles and almost drops the bottle. "I know I've been a bad friend lately, and I shouldn't just drop in on you like this, but that she said you'd be in and..." "What the hell is that?" Nate considers the small kitchen window in front of him and then the possibility of squeezing his big body through it.
That, he says, turning around, is your much handsomer twin brother, who doesn't chirp me and always responds to texts.
Sid splutters, his confused gaze darting from the cardboard cutout to Nate and back again.
But why do you have it? Sid asks, and Nate shrugs and takes a drink.
The only way I get to see you these days, I suppose, he says, watching Sid wince. He walks over to put himself between the cardboard Sid and real Sid.
Look, Nate, Sid looks, almost pleading. I'm really sorry about that. I shouldn't have just stopped responding like that. And I'm sorry about almost kissing you on the boat.
Nate looks away, swallowing dryly.
I don't even know if you're into guys at all. And you probably wouldn't be into me if you were. It was a drink making me brave. I needed some time to get over it. But I'm fine now. I hope we can still be friends.
Nate just stares at him blankly for a minute before taking a deep breath.
Sid, I have a life-sized cutout of you in my kitchen.
Yeah, that's kind of weird, but...
But Nate's just getting started. You don't understand. I went out to Timmy's at 1 a.m. just to buy you the donut you were craving and would never buy for yourself. Thank I went on your dumb boat, even though I'm afraid of boats.
What?
Sid, I jerked off to your GQ photoshoot when I was 15. Since I was 15, I have jerked it to that photoshoot. And to others. Sometimes to your hockey too.
Okay, Nate, take a deep breath.
And you have the audacity to come here and say that I probably wouldn't be attracted to you? Are you blind?
Nate,
and it's not even about sex. I can listen to you talk for hours about boats and fishing and exercise regimens. Do I look like the type of guy who enjoys gluten versus gluten-free debates? No. But I like to listen to you talk. I dropped everything to be at your hockey school in the summer. My teammates have posted Photoshop pictures of you in my locker. Literally everyone knows I...
Sid kisses him. It's off-center and clumsy, but Nate stops shouting and gets with the program quickly, hauling Sid closer and slotting their lips together more firmly. Sid's mouth is a little rough against his, chapped from the mouth guard, but that doesn't matter. Because Sid sure knows how to kiss. It's all Nate can do to clutch onto his shoulders and follow his lead.
Sid backs him up against the kitchen wall, and Nate lets him, even when he feels the crinkle of cardboard against his back. They kiss like that for a while. Enough for Nate's lips to feel the burn, and for him to find out that the ass feels just as spectacular as it looks, even through layers of clothing. Then, suddenly, Sid pulls back. Nate makes a sound of displeasure at the interruption and tightens his grip on him.
I'm sorry, Sid says breathless. I can't do this with my game face staring at me while I kiss you.
Nate glances to the side and bursts out laughing. Just over his shoulder, pinned to the wall, is cardboard Sid, watching the proceedings intensely. He's still laughing when Sid pulls him away to the bedroom.
The end. If you see a broken piece of glass, would you pick it up and let me know you got my back? Don't you let me plead, don't make me ask, cause I lose my hope when you don't react on it. If you see a broken piece of glass, would you pick it up and let me know you got my back? Author's notes. And then the cardboard cutout mysteriously ends up in a dumpster because Sid sneakily left it there while on his cake run. He doesn't like the competition, okay?
Let me go.
You've just finished listening to Familiar Work of Art by Saved By. If you enjoyed this story, please leave feedback for the author on AO3. If you enjoyed my production and performance of this story, please leave me some feedback. You can find me as Momo Parts on AO3. Thank you to Saved By for giving blanket permission to Partfic. The music used for chapter breaks is Never Let Me Go by Jess Glynn. Thank you to Growlery for suggesting the song and for helping me pick a cover. And thank you to Frecklebomb for doing a quick beta for me. I never would have made this without both your help. The story was recorded in September 2019 as a gift for Girl Marauders on the occasion of her birthday. Happy birthday, Bethany! I hope you like this little thing. I remember you asking for soft Sid Nate fix a few weeks ago when their Spit and Chicklets interviews came out. And while I can't write you anything new in that department, hopefully you've enjoyed this potfic instead. And this is the potfic with which I return from my hiatus. Although, well, I cannot promise I'll be back to posting weekly like I did until July. But it's good to be back in the saddle, basically. And what better cause than to give a gift, right? So I had considered another fic for this occasion, but there were two problems with that. The first one being that the author doesn't have blanket permission and never replied to my request. And second one being that this other story doesn't really focus enough on Nate and Sid and isn't as soft as I would have liked. Like, it's about them and their endgame, but the main part of the fic is actually about Nate with someone else. So I wasn't sure, you know, you would like this. I did record it though, and if you want it, I'll be happy to edit it and send it over privately to you, Bethany. Not anyone else, sorry. But to the birthday girl, absolutely, I will give this to you if you want it anyway. Also, if you want any more information about this illustrious story that I'm not naming right now, just let me know and I'll tell you what it is, and then you can decide for yourself if you want the potfic or not. Anyway, this potfic, the cover. I tried to find an image of the actual cardboard cutout that inspired this story. There's a link in the original fic's notes that leads to a video on Twitter where Sid is confronted with a cardboard cutout version of himself and he's very adorable about it. So I tried finding a picture of that cardboard cutout of Sid, but it was pretty hard to find any clear pics of Sidney Crosby cutouts or decals in high quality that didn't require a lot of work in Photoshop, so I ended up using just this picture that I found, which is, as far as I know, not an actual cardboard cutout of him, but he has the game face, and that was very important because that is something that is commented on in the fic. And also, I needed him to be suitably attractive, although I suppose that is very objective. I find this picture of him suitably attractive. Like, it's really hard finding pictures of hockey players in the middle of a game when they're already sweaty and possibly have a beard because it's playoffs or whatever. And then, you know, them being focused but not making a weird face on the ice. It's not that easy, you know, not in high quality and not transparent and all of these things that I was looking for. And it's just, I'm glad I found this one. This story was really fun to record, actually, and Dell assured me that my Nate voice worked out well for it. Like, I don't really have much experience with him, and even though I listened to his whole Spit and Chicklets interview, I find it difficult to emulate him in some way. Like, I don't know. I have this idea of what his voice should sound like in my head, but I'm not sure how to translate that into, you know, how I can actually voice him with my real life existing voice and abilities. So, yeah, I debated putting in a few lisps, but I decided against it because I haven't observed his lisp enough to do it with any kind of accuracy. And then I wasn't sure if it wouldn't be insulting to people who actually lisp when I don't actually lisp. So you know, I erred on the side of caution and just didn't do it. Maybe I will try it in the future. Maybe I won't. I haven't decided yet. Yeah. Anyway, that'll be enough free talk for now. I did add a few outtakes after this, so if you want to laugh at me failing to pronounce words, then stay tuned. And in the meantime, as always, thank you for listening all the way through until the end. I appreciate the attention more than you will know. And if you have anything you want to tell me about the recording or the production or in response to this free talk, you know where to find me. Hint, it's in the comments on AO3. And until next time, bye guys! Sid's probably got better things to do. I just realized I should probably check my game.
I guess I'm just
hoping for the best. He ducks into the showers, futilely. By which he means that he mostly sprawls out on the couch watching HGTV. HGTV. They kiss like that for a while. Enough for Nate's lips to feel the burn, and for him to find out that the ass feels just as spectacular.